because Derek Kent had been banging the drum since about, well, for about passing years anyway. Alan Hearn had done an outstanding volume of the book from 1996 to 2006, and Alan had been involved in previous editions, but they were pretty outstanding editions, and it just didn't come out since 2006, and which is unfortunate, because I would be a very strong, passionate person when it comes to having a reference guide for Wexford GA, which Dominic Williams has with his Bible of GA, which has been updated at the moment and hopefully be out in a not too distant future as well. I just believe you can't have enough references in the GA, because it's an organisation where archives are very poor. So anything like this is very well received, I think, and Derek came to me in January, having encouraged me when the Echo was still alive. She encouraged me to bring it out as a mini enterprise in the Echo, with the Echo. That didn't happen, but this year he rang me in January and he just wanted it out. So to answer your question, it's down to Derek Kent's interests in having it out, and it wasn't just this year he wanted it out, he wanted it out in other years, but this year he particularly banged the drum. Yeah.
And of course, January, everything was pretty normal. You know, we had the Rathgrove Cushionstown lads, and that was probably going to be a great start for your book there. And I suppose when you were sitting down looking at January, thinking the rest of the year, you weren't factoring in a COVID pandemic, I suppose.
No, everything. The Walsh Cup and the Burn Cups were obviously finished. We won the Walsh Cup, so that was a nice page out of the way, Burn Cup, and the National Leagues were up and running. The National Hurling League basically was ended fairly quickly. But yeah, no, the record cushion thing was something I was excited about looking about doing, and I've done some with James Bolger and Robbie O'Connor, brilliant club chairman, James, brilliant club man and manager. So the cushion thing was, I was excited about doing that, and I really liked the way it turned out. And unfortunately, James' mother's passed in recent weeks, and that was an emotional aspect of that article. But yeah, Aidan, we were doing all that. With a yearbook, you can't wait. You can't just... The Walsh Cup happens and the Burn Cup happens. You can't wait 6 months to do it. You have to do it then to help out CNR Print. CNR Print is, I have to say, an outstanding team. It's a whole team effort. They're an outstanding part of this team. But yeah, we had all those things going, ticking things off, and then COVID came, and it was like a wilderness. And really, I would have still wanted the yearbook to come out. But from, like, the county board can't be just throwing away money either. So I didn't know whether it was coming out or not. And then we had Return to Play announced in June. Derek was saying on to me, he didn't have to even say it, I just knew he was asking me, get it going again. And so I don't know whether if COVID had a wiped out the whole year, whether we would have had anything. I think it would be important to have something, because as a journalist, if something doesn't happen, there's still a story out there, and the story out there, if nothing happened, was to just find nothing happening and all these things. And we could have gone down a number of valleys and still produced something as a record for the year, which the yearbook has to be a record for the year. And I was conscious also, Aidan, of the book has to reflect the year that it is. But I was also very conscious, I didn't want to overplay the COVID situation, because people are sick of it. Okay, the virus is not sick of us. That's the dangerous thing we're playing with. No matter how irritated we are with the virus, it's still waiting to grab us. So we all have to be very vigilant. So we do tip the hat to the situation in the yearbook, Aidan, but I was just conscious for people flicking through the yearbook. I wanted to be a bit of an escape from everyday life. I do tip the hat to what's going on, but again, I wanted to focus on the sport. And a lot of sport went on around all the kind of lockdowns and all,
For 2020, it's even more important, because obviously we had the club championships played off, but a lot of it was behind closed doors, and people, you know, were tuning into streams or tuning into Southeast Radio to listen to or watch the games. But it's just not the same when you're not there, you know, in person cheering on your team. So especially looking back on some of the pictures from the games and that kind of thing, that's why a GAA annual like this is going to be even more important for 2020.
Yeah, and look at the people in the newspaper group. When the Echo went down, they could have eased back on the coverage. They actually ramped it up. They actually amped it up. They put up to volume 11, if you know what I mean by that. So that was a great resource in this. I can't get around to every venue, so I need to have a resource, and that was a great resource in. And I tried to put the best side into the yearbook and put my own slant on it, but have, you know, an honest, reflective strand of what happened during the year. As regards COVID and people not coming in, I remember I was going to the first match of the year, which was 7:15 at Belfield on July 17 or something. It was Rathnure against St Annes. And I was going in there. I had a responsibility, I had a job to do in there from a coverage point of view and from the the yearbook's point of view. But I remember going in, there was only 200 people out in there at that stage. That's including teams now. And I felt a bit like a fraud going in. Like, there's a lot of people in clubs that are a bit more, that I thought just somebody should be here instead of meeting me. I could watch this from somewhere else. You know, so I know what you're saying. I mean, it was a strange year, and, you know, look, you have to roll with the punches, and we're still going to have to roll with the punches. But look, I don't know. I just hope the yearbook has something for everybody. I think it does. We have a lot of subjects covered in this. We have subjects covered outside of the year, like Donald Howland has a reflective piece on his late father Seamus, who was like, he doesn't need any introduction. Like, he was a presidential candidate at one stage, and is a brilliant article. I really enjoyed it. As I said, I have a big feature on Rocco Cushenstone. Alan Ahern has a piece just on the role of the newspaper with the GAA hand in hand, and I think it makes some very good points in it, as usual, because his column every week is very good reading. When it comes to COVID, Ed, and broadcasters like Saudi Radio were brilliant in their live broadcasting games, and equally so XGA TV came into his own, actually came into being. There was a new initiative, and Peter Myrna, who headed up that along with Lars Sutton and Finbar Flanagan, there's a big feature in that in there. Ed Rowson, Ed has a piece there just reflecting on county finals he's been at since 1978, when he was 4.5, and he still remembers things from the 78 final when he was 4.5. There's a lovely piece there from Ed Rowson. Pat Quill obliged me, and I'm delighted he obliged me. I wanted somebody to do something with Mary Rose Kelly, keeper supreme, who retired at the start of this year, soccer service, Gaelic football service, Hodderstrand. Mary Rose Kelly's just is a real model for the Mull County, and Pat Quill has done a piece on reflecting on Mary Rose's career, which I really enjoyed. A lot of facts and figures in there, which just delighted Pat did that article. And Willie Cleary, who was the hurling player development manager for Wexford from 2017 to 2020, it came a shock to a lot of us when he announced he was going back into full-time teaching this year, like, because he was, you know, people understand what the role Willie Cleary played in promoting Wexford hurling in. And again, like Pat doing his article, I was delighted that Willie was able to do the article as well, just reflecting on his input and the different ways his role kind of has helped, and hopefully will continue to help the development of Wexford hurling.
Absolutely, some brilliant stuff in there, and I can't wait to get my hands on it either. And just looking back at 2020 as well, I think one thing that's really been what's going to be covered in the book is that it's not just, you know, the men's side, the hurling and football. There's going to be ladies football, there's going to be camogie in there as well. And I think for 2020, it's really kind of focused the minds a little bit, not just here in Wexford, but for all counties, really, that, you know, the county game is brilliant and it's the elite level of the sport, but the club game is the community. It's the heartbeat of the GAA. And I think a lot of people have actually turned back to their clubs, and, you know, maybe they haven't gone to a club game in the last couple of years, or maybe, you know, they've kind of fallen out of love with it. But I think there has been a sort of resurgence of that love, especially here in the county, that plenty of people, we were getting massive figures for listening into, you know, the Shamaliers county final, or, you know, even some semi-finals, quarter-finals, that kind of thing. So I think that 2020 has kind of just turned our ambitions for Gaelic games on its head, and we are starting to look more inside the county and not just at the big games in Croke Park or whatever.
And one of the stunning successes of the whole thing is that now people have been screaming from the rooftops for years, there can be a split season. You don't have to have a club on top in the county. You don't have to have a few club games in April, May, and then just leave everybody marooned until the county team's finished. So that plan has come in there, that people are at least looking at it. If this COVID thing becomes like TB and all, it becomes a bit more controlled and that is a memory. I like to see how the county thing and the split season actually, is that actually on or bound? Are people going to stick to that? But look, it has certainly opened the minds in how we can structure competitions. Like clubs, like, I mean, to play a few games in the upper May and to be left marooned then because you're a county team. Like, I mean, it was just pathology, like. I mean, so certainly things happen for a reason, and COVID-19, these things happen for a reason. That's no comfort to people who have suffered the ultimate fate in this thing. You can also, I'm not trying to dumb this thing down, but it has certainly broadened the mind of the GAA people. All right.
And that's always trying to look for the positive in every situation, especially a crisis like this. But look, the year's not over yet for the inter-county teams either. We've got two big games coming up with the under-20s and the minor hurlers. The minor hurlers playing on Sunday, the 20th of December, against the Cats. So, you know, that's traditionally a big game, and sure, everybody will be tuned into that one. And then we have the under-20s playing the winners of Offaly and Dublin in the Leinster semi-final. That's on the Friday beforehand, the 18th of December. So there's still a big year to come, hopefully, if we can get two big massive wins for those guys.
Yeah, obviously the under hurlers were playing in Carlow that night, whoever comes through that game between Offaly and Dublin. Offaly and Dublin having absolutely trounced Antrim and Westmead on what was the last night of any normality before level 5 lockdown came in October. Yeah, James Sheil was over the main hurlers last year when they bridged that 34-year gap for Leinster title. And speaking to him in St. Patrick's Park there in August for a while, or September for a while, yeah, he wanted the success and all. They wanted that. Like, there's no doubt they wanted that. But, you know, you do get appreciation that it's part of, say, Willie Cleary's thing, that when he was hurling the development manager there, it's not all about success at those levels, Ed. It's about producing players into the senior setup. And that's certainly happened. Like, there is a number of under-20s this year that were in with the seniors. Like, James Lawler being a goalie, I think he was the goal in the Watch Cup final against Galway that Wexford won in January, for instance. But yeah, look, we all want success, especially how disappointing it was for two senior teams this year. The men's, the Camogie, the Argan best strides. Today's footballers definitely put up a big response in the National League, so let's acknowledge them. But the disappointment of the senior hurlers and footballers, yeah, it'd be nice for the minor hurlers, no doubt, like me, and the untrained hurlers to get success. But a run of games, developing these players, would be more important. A run of games at this stage in knockout championship obviously would bring titles with that. But I kind of buy into what James Sheil is saying and what Willie Cleary and these are saying. And lads have said it before them, it's not all about success, it's about development for the marquee teams. And at the end of the day, we want our marquee teams being successful. And the marquee teams are senior teams or our first string teams in whatever grade, you know.
Yeah, hear, hear. And listen, Ronan, you've been great with your time there. And just to finish up, obviously, it's a very simple title, the Wexford GAA Yearbook 2020. When can people get their hands on it?
We're having a bit of a photograph thing in Wexford Park on the night. I've got plenty of makeup on me for that one, just like things Pratt usually gets. But it's coming out Wednesday anyway, next Wednesday, the night. Mainly in what I know as Burns Bookshops, but I think there are Easton's Bookshops now in Wexford, Gorey, and Enniscorthy. And also it's going to be available in Naras as well, because I think there might be interest from the record courses on end of things, for particularly for, and I hope to enjoy it, but I just hope everybody gets some know of it, just to take their minds off what's going on in this world at the moment, Eddie.